Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi, it's Allison Flom. Welcome back to Erased. In our last episode, the defense had to change their strategy once their theory that Elma took her own life was completely unraveled. They accused Richard Croucher, the jealous creep of the house, of killing Elma and framing Levi. Here we are at our final chapter. It's been a journey through this chaotic two-day trial. I'm so glad you're here. If you were in the courtroom for this, you were flooded with theories. Colden presented his case, that Levi Weeks lured Elma Sands out of the boarding house to the Manhattan Well under the pretense of marriage and, with help from his brother Ezra, killed her and threw her into the water. And the defense presented their series of rebuttals. They attacked Colden's credibility. They iced him out of essential due process using their power and connections. And they alleged that Elma was a suicidal opiate addict whose death had nothing to do with their client. They uncovered that Elma was surrounded by dangerous men. They suggested that she endured repeated abuse by her uncle Elias Ring, and that Richard Croucher ignited a firestorm of negative public opinion towards their client. The audacity and power of these claims took a toll on everything. The jury's patience, the endurance of Colden's story from the day before, and the prosecutor himself, honestly. In this last episode, we find out, can Colden stand up to all of this? Will there be justice for Elma? We're back in the courtroom toward the end of day two, April 1st, 1800, as Hamilton and Burr prepare their finishing blow.
Levi Weeks has sat here in peace and silence for 2 days. He's listened to unqualified idiots eviscerate his character with vicious and unfounded accusations. He has exemplified restraint and dignity. Levi Weeks is a builder. He builds. Levi Weeks is an architect, not a murderer. And his character speaks for itself.
Mr. Hamilton, is this your closing statement?
I'm going to deliver our closing statement. Gentlemen of the jury, as the great Matthew Hale said in his masterpiece, Pleas of the Crown, it's better 5 guilty persons should escape unpunished than 1 innocent person should die. Have mercy on this innocent man.
Your Honor, sorry to interrupt. I have more witnesses.
We've listened to hundreds of witnesses.
75.
But we've listened to 75 witnesses. We're tired.
We're so tired, Your Honor.
Well, I'm tired too, but I'm still presenting my case.
Mr. Colden, do you have new evidence?
How could he have new evidence now?
I have a new lens through which I'd like to examine the evidence we've heard thus far. If I could request another adjournment just till the morning.
What?
No adjournment, I'm begging.
My legs are numb.
I miss my wife.
Counselors, approach the bench. Mr. Colden, for the well-being of our jurors, we simply cannot adjourn again. Do you really have new evidence that we haven't heard?
I have character witnesses, sir. A bunch of them.
We don't need more character witnesses, Colden. The jury knows who everyone is.
I have 4 witnesses for Elias Ring, who's been ceaselessly lambasted all day. Plus character witnesses to prove Elma had a great life and wouldn't end it herself.
This is over, Colden.
The defense has closed our case.
But I don't have the energy to close mine tonight. I think if we could all just sleep on it for just a few hours,
we're maybe... not adjourning, Colden.
Okay, fine. Then give me an hour for character witnesses.
15 minutes. Then your closing argument. Starting right now.
So they refused to do another adjournment. Colden started faltering, or as one stenographer put it, crumbling under fatigue. Imagine trying to do your job and then having to stay awake for 2 days, and everything you try to do is against the rules, rules that no one's told you about, that are being made up right in front of you. I'd be in bad shape, too.
The prosecution calls Henry Clement.
Stop! Yep, sorry, thought you never called. Ow, sorry, 1 second.
Can you walk a little faster, please, Mr. Clement?
My foot's asleep.
Ooh!
We're all asleep.
Yikes.
Okay.
Mr. Clement. What were you doing on the night Elma Sands was murdered?
Well, my wife and I had barley and steak, and then the McCombs rang our doorbell at 9 p.m. My wife said, 9 p.m.? So late for visitors, must be an emergency.
And was it an emergency?
No, it was just Beth and John McComb looking for a nightcap. They'd just finished dinner at Ezra Weeks' house.
And Ezra walked them to Frederick Rhinelander's corner. Beth and John McComb went to your house, and Ezra went to help his brother commit a murder at the Manhattan Well.
Speculation! Storytelling at this point.
Ezra Weeks was unaccounted for between 8:25 and 9:15 that night, so it's obvious
that... Elma Sands was out and unaccounted for all the time.
Hold on, that is not true.
What was that, Mrs. Ring?
Elma was never out past curfew. I always knew where she was.
Sit down, Mrs. Ring.
Tick-tock, Mr. Colden.
Mr. Colden, stop the rumors.
Mr. Colden, you still have a witness up here.
Mr. Clement, do you socialize with the McCombs often?
Yeah, well, fairly often. They're acquaintances of mine.
When did you next see them?
We ran into each other 3 days after the murder. At the Christmas buffet at Sam Francis Tavern on Pearl Street. Oh, well, John McComb was wearing a top hat and a green velvet jacket.
The storied Francis Tavern on Pearl Street, where this witness's testimony takes us next, was a major hub of New York's high society. Imagine like an old English-style house in Lower Manhattan, but inside, the rich and powerful get drunk and make important decisions. The Continental Congress had their first ever meeting at Francis Tavern. The New York Chamber of Commerce was founded there. It was George Washington's favorite bar. It was kind of a scene.
Ah, looking good, John. I like your jacket.
This party was on Christmas Day, and Elma had disappeared on the 22nd.
Where's the wife?
She's getting us more brisket.
John, listen, I've been hoping to run into you.
Oh, come on, Clement. No work talk on Jesus' birthday?
No, it's not about work.
Henry, darling, what a surprise.
Ah, Mrs. McComb, I was just telling John about something sort of gruesome, if you want to go sit down.
No, my wife's tough.
Tougher than you, dear.
What's so gruesome, Clement?
My advice to you is this. Don't tell anyone you had dinner at Ezra Weeks' house the other night.
Why not? I'm at Ezra's shop all the time. We work together.
I think you should avoid associating with the Weeks brothers for now.
Clement, come on. What's this about?
You heard about the girl who disappeared, right?
Oh, yes. From the Ring's house. Truly shocking.
It happens. Young girls run away, then they come home. It's not good Christmas talk.
I don't know, John. I have a bad feeling about this, and people are saying Levi Weeks...
Hold on! This is a court of law, not a court of feelings.
Girls like Elma Sands don't just vanish. I knew if something bad happened to her, the Weeks brothers were probably involved. See, I was right. I'm always right. Ezra Weeks kicked down for the country's best and brightest legal team to defend his brother.
Because they know he's guilty.
Speculation.
Plus, Levi's legal team has had months to prep their case. They started working on this in January.
Hey, can we get another round, Sam, and some chips?
Right away, Mr. Murray.
Make mine a double, Sam.
And here we are back at Francis Tavern a month later, shortly after Burr and Hamilton were brought onto this case. With its reputation and clientele, the tavern was a great place to work and to be seen working.
You know what our biggest problem is? Everyone in New York saw Elma's dead body.
Ugh, stop saying her name.
It wasn't just any dead body, Aaron. It was a battered 22-year-old girl in a box outside a Quaker boarding house. That scars people.
I'll bet you right now, at this time next year, nobody remembers the name Elma Sands.
What will you bet me? You're broke.
You're broke too. Come on, can we be a little bit more fun about this? We're taking our brand new baby for her first test drive.
Don't refer to anything as our baby, especially the U.S. Constitution.
This country's future is on our shoulders. Let's stop worrying about Elma Sands and build a case for our guy, for America.
Here you go, gentlemen. Good to see you two out socializing.
Hamilton and I are not hanging out, Sam. We're working.
On a murder case, Sammy. The first one ever going to trial.
Who was murdered?
It doesn't matter. There's going to be a judge, a jury, a full audience.
Was that the girl they pulled out of the well? Over there on the Lispinards? Oh, God bless her. Julie Elma.
Is that her name?
It doesn't matter what her name was.
If anyone asks you about the dead girl, don't participate in gossip. Leave it in the hands of the U.S. justice system.
Oh, I never gossip, Mr. Burr.
Good. If anyone's wondering about Elma, or whatever her name was, they can come see for themselves at the trial.
It's on March 31st at 10 a.m. Federal Hall. You want me to write that down, Sam?
The trial is open to the public.
Of course. An audience is vital for justice.
Cheers to being on the right side of justice.
For justice!
Cheers, justice!
Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton were excited to test out the new system in its first official murder trial. And maybe in all that excitement, they forgot that a person was murdered. And if that person was erased from history as collateral damage for the construction of the great new U.S. system, it probably didn't seem like a big deal to them. They wanted to win. They wanted to see the system work for them. And it was their job to win. When it came time for their opponent, Colden, to close his case, this happened.
Are you okay there, Colden?
Yes. Gentlemen of the jury, today, this case has the power to change the, Levi Weeks murdered Elma in the well, and I am...
What's happening, Mr. Colden?
I don't have the energy to deliver my closing arguments.
What?
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
You don't want to say anything at all?
No, no, I want to say a lot more, but I'm just too tired right now.
No, please.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm sinking.
Stand up. I'll say it, Your Honor. Can I make the closing statement?
Sit down, Mrs. Ring.
Could she give the closing statement, since the prosecutor was crumbling under exhaustion and pressure? Or could someone else speak for Elma? Anyone?
I've been awake for 44 hours. I'm just so tired.
I'm not tired. Let me do it, please, Your Honor. I can do it, please.
And a few days earlier, Catherine had faith that he could do it. How hard could it be to prove that a murder that happened, happened? As a Quaker, Catherine believed that the truth was more important than anything else. The truth would triumph here. There was no way that Elma could be brutally murdered and then completely erased without justice. There was no way. Colden had 4 or 5 days to prepare for this trial, in which he tried to piece together the story. He started with Catherine Ring, his star witness, his very first testifier.
Would you like some more tea, Mr. Colden?
Please, yes.
I have a question for you. I hope it's not insulting.
By all means.
Have you ever prosecuted a murder trial before?
Well, there's never been a murder trial before.
Right.
But I've got 4 whole days to prepare a case, so...
Yeah, there are just so many details. Are you good at keeping notes?
I've got this, Catherine. I'm great under pressure.
Okay.
You're the first witness I'm calling, though, so you're the one to set up the story. Make sure to look at the jury. Don't act nervous.
I'm not nervous, Mr. Colden. You seem nervous.
No. I'm good.
You look bad, Colden.
I'm not well, Your Honor. I'm too tired to make any more statements. I have to go home.
So the prosecution is too tired to deliver closing remarks.
What? Colden, you can still do it.
Catherine, I'm crumbling.
And I wish I could tell you that the courtroom doors burst open and a magical fairy assistant prosecutor arrived with a coffee and a dossier of new evidence for Colden, but that is just not how it went. After pedaling against the system for 2 long days, Colden had nothing left but hope that he had done enough and that the jurors would do the right thing. And of course, Catherine was desperate and furious with him. Everyone probably was. But what could they do? It was over.
Order! Silence in the chambers. Jurors, please rise. These proceedings are now closed. Clerk?
Yes, Your Honor.
Escort the jury out to begin deliberations. Jurors, I trust you'll deliberate a fair and just verdict.
Gentlemen, please gather your belongings and follow me right this way through the double doors.
Everybody watched the jury file out of the courtroom to deliberate. 12 men walk out in a group. Each member of the jury, a friend of the judge, a colleague of the defense attorneys, a regular at Francis Tavern, or a soon-to-be politician for whom this was just one moment. A deliberation. One decision. And then they could finally go home.
Everybody else, while we wait for the juror's decision, if you need to rest, take a brief slumber in your seats. But nobody leaves this room until the jurors return. Nobody speaks to the press. Nobody asks me questions. Nobody does anything until the jurors come back.
December 21st, 1799, the day before the murder, in the boarding house.
Give me your blessing.
What?
Just tell me you want me to marry Levi, and everything is going to be great.
I don't support the marriage, Alma. I can't lie to you.
Then just support me. Please. I'm serious.
Okay.
Say it.
Do I have to?
Yes. Please.
Okay, Alma. I want you to marry Levi tomorrow. Everything's gonna be great.
Clark, is there a problem?
The jury has reached a unanimous verdict, Your Honor.
Is that a joke?
I don't really joke, sir.
But it's only been 3 minutes.
And they're ready to come back in, sir.
Okay. Bring them in. All rise.
And though we can never know what happened that night, my best guess is this. They got to the Lisbonard Meadows.
Ooh. Is this the place?
Got out of Ezra's sleigh. Started walking. And...
God, it's so... quiet.
Echo!
Shh, 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 shh. Oh, sorry. Should I start saying my vows now?
I'm gonna get out of here.
Wait, aren't you staying to officiate?
Where are you going?
Just stay with me, Alma.
Well, obviously I'm staying with you. I'm just trying to understand the whole eloping logistics.
Too many questions.
I just want to get it right. Should I start saying my vows now? I mean, it's more of a list of reasons why I love you, but
Alma,
I just...
I need you to make this easier for me.
Make what easier, babe? Ow! Ow! What are you doing?
Just...
That hurts! No! Help!
No!
Let me go!
Shut up!
Ah! Murder!
No!
Murder! Murder!
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Juror number one, how do you find the defendant?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
What did he say?
Juror number two,
not guilty.
Juror number three,
not guilty.
Holden, you have to do something.
Levi. Yeah? Did you hear that, Levi?
Juror number four.
They're saying...
Not guilty.
We did it.
Stop them!
Juror number five.
I didn't do it.
No,
we did it. I didn't mean to.
Juror number six.
Not guilty.
You won!
I can't hear you, Alexander.
We won! Juror number seven.
We won?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Juror number eight.
No!
Not guilty.
We won!
This is bad! This is no justice!
Juror number nine.
Nothing happens to Levi?
Not guilty.
Juror number 10.
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Grab my hand, Catherine.
Juror number 11.
Catherine, here, as hard as you can.
No. Not
guilty!
No!
Your hand, Catherine, come on.
Juror number 12.
Not guilty!
Thank you for your service, gentlemen. The state of New York hereby finds Levi Weeks not guilty of the murder of Elma Sands.
Your Honor!
Yes, Mr. Burr?
Is my client free to go?
Order! Order! I don't think there's anything else we have to do, so... Yes, Levi Weeks and everyone else, you're dismissed. Good night.
All right, folks. This way. There are multiple exits. Let's not trample each other, please.
Those who you gave to us, you did not lose them, but you gave them to us.
Catherine,
by their return to you.
It's over.
Your son has taught us that life is eternal and love cannot die.
We have to leave this room. Okay, get up.
I'm up.
You're on your knees.
Oh. Ladies, Catherine, Hope, how are you, my friends? Congratulations on my not guilty verdict, and you can stop shunning me now.
Stay away from us.
But you guys were wrong about me. I know it's hard for you to admit that I'm not guilty,
no,
but
no, of course you're guilty,
thought...
Levi.
Levi, you owe me one, remember? Just go.
Levi! Come on, kiddo, how about some drinks?
Just a second.
Come on, as we're waiting outside. First round's on you, buddy.
We never want to see you again, so you may as well go drink with your lawyers.
Don't be dramatic, Catherine.
I mean it. I don't want to know you or think of you or hear your name. I don't want to know where you are or what you're doing. Disappear, Levi, and never come back to New York.
Good evening, Mrs. Ring. Or good morning. I think I see the sun rising on a brand new day out there.
You know what? The pub sounds great, Mr. Hamilton. Let's go.
Come on, ladies. Want to come celebrate Levi's victory with us? Elmo would have wanted you to party.
Mr. Hamilton.
And don't be so sad, Catherine. It doesn't suit you.
When you lay suffering a sudden, violent, brutal death, I hope you'll think of me.
Okay. I don't think...
And I pray you'll be sorry, Mr. Hamilton. I do believe you'll be sorry for the things you've done.
Let's go home now, Catherine.
And so Levi Weeks walked out of the courtroom, Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton by his side. He started his story over that night as Elma's disappeared into history. And it's tempting to tell you here why I'm so obsessed with this story and what I think it tells us about our justice system now. But at its core, it's about a 22-year-old girl who was murdered and then erased because her story was inconvenient for men in power. And I keep hearing that story even today. Why are we still like this? Stenography in the courtroom was a brand new idea at the time of this trial. Partial notes and transcripts had been taken at trials before, but the Elma Sands murder trial is the first time where multiple full-length accounts were published. But who were the guys taking these notes? And were they capable of neutrality? Is anyone?
The prominent manuscript of this trial was written by a friend of Alexander Hamilton and sent to him and Ezra Weeks for proofreads and approvals before it went out for print. One stenographer was paid off by Ezra Weeks $500 to leave certain details of the story out before releasing it to the public. So we're left with just a partial history written by and for the winners. Here's what we know. Trying to escape his bad reputation in New York, Levi Weeks lived in several places, Massachusetts, Ohio, Kentucky, before settling in Natchez, Mississippi. He started looking for work as an architect. His first client was an old friend of Aaron Burr's, and then he started getting big commissions. He built a college, a government building, and he even got a holiday named after him for his architectural contributions to the city. In Natchez, April 21st is Levi Weeks Day. Cadwallader Colden would eventually become a well-respected lawyer. He later became mayor of New York and then was elected to Congress. If only he'd prosecuted this case a little later in his career, maybe we'd be telling a different story right now. Judge John Lansing disappeared, also in Soho. To this day, his disappearance is a cold case. A magazine article in the mid-19th century would blame the bitter, conniving ghost of Elma Sands for Judge John's disappearance. Elias Ring lost the boarding house that year due to increased financial stress. He worked odd jobs and then fell into debt, ultimately getting kicked out of the Friends, his Quaker organization, for drinking too much. In the meantime, Elias and Catherine had 10 children, and then Elias died from the yellow fever. Catherine Ring lived another 56 years. She moved back up to New Cornwall with hope. She turned the house where she grew up into a boarding house where she took care of dozens of boarders at once. That house is still standing. Where most of the key players in this story have museums and monuments and like landmarks committed to the preservation of their names and stories and legacies, Elma Sands was buried unmarked in a mass grave on the Lower East Side. It's nearly impossible to find details about Elma's life. Even the official spelling of her name is lost. The well where Elma was murdered still stands now, unlandmarked, in the basement of a clothing store in Soho. Elma moved to the city when she was 18, from a farm upstate. She was raised by a single mom, and she loved the piano. Almost all other personal details about Elma, outside the context of her murder trial, have been erased. But Elma's cousin Catherine, her best friend and her biggest advocate in the world, would remember her like this.
Catherine! Catherine! Come make a snow angel!
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, come try it!
I'm not gonna lay in the snow. It's freezing.
Oh, please. There's an echo!
Shh! Elma, you'll make a scene.
Oh, but it feels so, so powerful. Catherine, come here. Catherine!
Ugh.
Please.
Okay, just for a moment.
Oh, yes, my God. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, lay down right here. Okay. Now, scream something.
I can't stand to yell.
Scream something, anything. It feels good! Catherine!
Hello!
Louder. You can do it, Catherine!
Elma!
Whoa. Yes.
I'm freezing!
And I love you!
I love you the most in the world.
In the world!
Okay. Okay. It's so cold.
Okay. Help me up.
I got you.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so cold.
Elma, let's walk on this side. Over here, yeah. So we can stay in the sun.
Oh
Erased, The Murder of Elma Sanz is a production of Lunch Plans and Lava for Good podcasts in association with Signal Company No. 1. The show is narrated, written, and produced by me, Allison Flom. It stars Allison Williams as Catherine Ring, Tony Goldwyn as Alexander Hamilton, Barry Sheck as Aaron Burr, and Jason Flom as Judge John Lansing. Our executive producers are Allison Williams, Jason Flom, and Kevin Wardis. This show is produced by Goldhawk Productions. The show is sound designed and mixed by Steve Bond. The music is composed and performed by Sasha Putnam. The producer for Goldhawk is Andy Goddard, with production management from Emma Hearn. The executive producer for Goldhawk is John Scott Dryden. You can listen to every episode of Erased, The Murder of Elma Sanz, right now, ad-free, by subscribing to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow the show on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Lava for Good. And for more information on this story, plus a complete list of our incredible cast, visit lavaforgood.com/erased.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.